Welcome, gamers from around the globe. You've dropped into the best place for Game Pass news. That's right, it's the Game Pass Tracker Show. This is episode 151, recorded live Tuesday, April 30th. I'm Nick Metzger, here with the best dang co-host a guy could ever have. Right next to me, Mr. Sean Abbott. We're going to fill your brains with all this week's bits and bobs of Xbox, like we have a date for Xbox Christmas. ID Xbox gives us an update on a swath of Game Pass games. Fallout's got crazy numbers all over the place, and of course, your Game Pass update as always. You better sit down, buckle up, because Game Pass Tracker Show is one crazy ride.
Hello, everybody, and what is up? Welcome to today's show. We want to welcome you to your favorite Xbox Game Pass podcast, the Game Pass Tracker Show. We're on pretty much every social networking app that's out there. Everything is at GPT Gaming News. And if you have any thoughts or any questions, please don't hesitate to reach out to us and shoot us an email at show@gamepasstracker.com. If you like what you are hearing, we'd love to hear that. Tell us, send us a review, give us some stars, just go to your podcast app of choice and leave it all there. Really just help us grow and reach more fans. But lo and behold, we wouldn't be the best Game Pass podcast that's out there at the moment if we weren't promoting the main attraction itself, Xbox Game Pass. If you love Game Pass and you love the show and want to show your support, head over to the link in the description or the chat and sign up to Game Pass from the Xbox.com website. Not only you'll be supporting us, the show, and the Game Pass Tracker family, but you'll also be signing up to the best gaming subscription out there, which is, of course, Xbox Game Pass. So sign up to whatever level you desire, be that PC Game Pass, which linked with the Xbox app on Windows is absolutely stellar. Core, or my favorite, because I'm a console player, Game Pass Ultimate, just play your own way by using the code, like I said, in the chat or in the show notes or in the description, and it'll help us continue to create awesome content that we love to make for you, our amazing fans. So without further ado, we're going to head into the Game Pass headlines and talk about what is coming and going in the next couple of weeks.
Ladies and gentlemen, we got new games, but Sean's going to talk about those, what's coming out here shortly. I am talking about what has dropped in the last week. We have, first off, on today, that's what it was. Today, we had Have a Nice Death. In this darkly charming 2D action roguelike, play as an overworked Death whose employees have run rampant, completely throwing off the balance of Souls and his vacation plans. Grab your trusty scythe and show your employees who's boss. Did I say that right, Sean? Is it a scythe? Is that how you say that?
Scythe or scythe?
Scythe. Scythe. Sith. No, that's Star Wars. No, scythe. Scythe. Okay, anyways. If you know how to say that better than us, or better than me, for sure, put it in chat. So that's today. Coming out next is May 2nd. We have Tomb Raider Definitive Edition. If you're like me, you're like, dang, didn't we just get Tomb Raider? We got Shadow of the Tomb Raider. Now you get the old version. Well, not old, but anyways, the older version. Tomb Raider Definitive Edition. This definitive edition of the critically acclaimed action adventure is returning to Game Pass. Endure high-octane combat, customize weapons and gear, and overcome grueling environments to survive Lara Croft's first adventure and uncover the island's deadly secrets. By the way, both of these games are available everywhere. All the places. So that is what we... Do we have another one coming? Why did I think we had something else coming out? Oh, no, that was April 26th. That was last week, Sean.
Yeah, I guess.
That's okay.
Okay, sorry. It was out since we last did a podcast.
That's fair.
Forgetting that we've changed.
Manor Lords came out on Friday. That's fair. Manor Lords came out on Friday. And that's a fun game that I don't... okay. Available day one with Game Pass. PC only. Manor Lords is a medieval strategy game featuring in-depth city building, large-scale tactical battles, and complex economic and social simulations. Rule your lands as a medieval lord. The seasons pass, the weather changes, and cities rise and fall. I'm sorry. How's it? There you go, Sean.
I like it.
That's what's out that's what's out this-ish week. What's coming out next week?
All right. I'll know for next time to not add games
You're
that
fine.
Come out exactly the day after
I'm
we do
fun.
A podcast. So out next week, May 7th, this is coming everywhere, is Kona 2 Broom. Continue the interactive tale of Kona. This title offers players an immersive first-person narrative experience with a unique storytelling mechanic. Explore the rustic setting of a rural mining village of northern Canada in 1970 and uncover the mystery of the bizarre mist, the broom, that has engulfed the region. So if you are a big fan of narrative-style games with a bit of mystery and storytelling. I'm just listing all the buzzwords that are in there, but no, I didn't play the first one, so I don't know what to expect for this one. So,
if you like games with buttons, you should play this one.
The button game. And then coming out May 9th, this is coming to everywhere, and it's available day one, a little kitty. Big city. In this open world playground, you're a curious little kitty with a big personality on an adventure to find your way back home. Explore the city, make new friends with stray animals, wear delightful hats, and leave more than a little chaos in your wake. After all, isn't that what cats do best? Like how I answer that as a question. My cat's just a giant pain in the ass. So
yeah, that's what my cat does best as well. We already have a swath of Game Pass core games that came out, I don't know, a couple weeks ago, so we won't see anything for that in a while. We did get a new game announcement. We got a lot, but we're going to cover most of them in the feature story with ID Xbox. But the one that we wanted to touch on, Brothers, A Tale of Two Sons, Joseph Fares's first game. Not a Hazelight game though. We searched this because we were confused. So, but that was before he started the Hazelight Studio. That is coming out May 14th. So we got that one on the horizon.
And as we look, when we were looking into the game, and obviously the fact that it was Joseph Suarez, before Hazelight, we also figured out that the reason why this might be coming to Game Pass is because there is a remaster in the works. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Yeah. And we're not getting the remaster, folks. I hate to break it to you. But, you know, hey, not complaining. I'm just letting you know. Now, Sean's going to talk about 75 games that are leaving in the next, 15-ish days.
Well, okay, yeah, 15-ish days. But the first, 2, 4, 6, the first 7 of those are leaving in, depending on where you listen to, they're either gone, you're listening to this in the UK, live, or if you're in Eastern, Pacific, Central, Moose, anywhere in America, you've still got a few hours to go with these. So leaving the 30th, or today, of April, 7 Days to Die, Besiege, EA Sports, NHL 22, Loop River, Pikunukiu, and Ravenlock. So they'll have gone. By the time you listen to this, wherever you listen to this and whatever you do while you listen to this, those games will have gone. So you'll have missed your opportunity getting them played and beaten before they leave. So, or being able to purchase them with your 20% extra discount because you are a Game Pass member. But we have a new wave of games that are leaving the Game Pass subscription service. They are going to leave on May 15th. And that's Eastern Exorcist even. Aiden Chronicles Rising, Fuga, Melodies of Steel 2, Ghost Law, Just Cause 4 Reloaded, Norco, SD Gundam Battle Alliance, and the Super Land 6 Inches Under.
Yeah. Yep. And
I think the only one I'm sad to see on that list is Just Cause 4, because that is quite a crazy game to play.
You were excited when that one came out. I remember that. Yeah, you were. Fuga Melodies of Steel, Aiden Chronicles Rising. If you're playing the Aiden Chronicles, the turn-based game, and you're interested, they do connect in some way, as I've been told. And Aiden Chronicles Rising is an action RPG, and much less time. I actually beat this game. Much less time than the one, The 100 Heroes, that just came out. So you might want to try to get on that before it goes away on April 15th. Superland 6 inches under. I didn't beat this game. I probably played about 3 or 4 hours of it. It's a puzzly, it's an environmental puzzler game, but it actually is pretty good fun. I was surprised. I wasn't, just by looking at it, I was like, I don't know what to think of this. But once I got into it, the puzzles were legit. Some of them were hard. And so, yeah, if you like those type of games, that might be one to look at. And one thing I want to say, Sean, you may have known this. I did not, so I had to search it. And for our audio listeners, so Kona 2 Broom is B-R-U-M-E, which is a mist or a fog. That's what that means. I didn't know that. I don't know if you did.
I think it alluded to that in the description that I gave. It's a mysterious fog.
Probably did. I'm sorry.
but I wouldn't have known 100% because I just thought they were calling this mysterious mist the broom because it was what they wanted to call it in their game. But no, knowing that a broom is a mist, that's quite an interesting fact.
Yeah, there you go. It definitely did. Oh, yeah. Uncover the mystery of the bizarre mist, comma, the broom, comma, that has engulfed the region. Okay. All right. Fair enough, Sean.
But that, like you said, that could just allude to what they're calling it. So
I'm very sorry. Sean's like, every day, hey. I just freaking said that, but sure. Thanks a lot. way to find something out, Nick. Good for you.
Well, it's every day's a school day, so no. So out of those games that we've spoken about, I think the only one that I'm super excited to play is Little Kitty Big C. If I'm completely honest, I'm so far into the Fallout 4 trend at the moment that I think most of the stuff that's coming is just getting completely blindsided by that. Mm-hmm. I'm very sorry. But the next gen update is absolutely bonkers and I'm enjoying playing the game all over again and it's a lot of fun. But Little Kitty Big C, it's that open world cat. That's it. Open world, be a cat.
Yeah.
I'm sold.
Yeah, the art style looks playful and fun. The premise is great. If you got kiddos, my kiddos, I think, will just eat this up. It's one of those games where, will I play it? Probably not. Will I sit on the couch and have fun with my kids while they goof around with it? Yeah, definitely. That's what's going to happen here. And I will certainly do that. It'll be a good time, I think.
To be fair, I spent the day today trying to explain why everything in Fallout 4 looks as absolutely disheveled as it did to a six-year-old. It was quite difficult to explain to him that I am playing the role of a man who has lost his son and there's been giant nuclear bombs and I've just come out of a bunker 200 years after. And he was like, so why does the house look like that? So because there's been a giant nuclear explosion. It's ripped. So going to Little Kitty Big City might be a really better option to play in front of him. So,
this poor kid's going to have nightmares of nuclear winters now.
So trying my hardest to stay away from anything that I have to shoot and kill. So I was like, I think I spent a lot of time like, what do we do today? We built like the base in Sanctuary and stuff. So we were crafting. We were taking stuff and crafting. And
That's good. Not shooting off limbs or anything like that. That's helpful.
No, not doing that. I think we lost the dog. I've lost dog meat. I don't know where he's gone. He disappeared. So, which he was upset about.
Oh man, that's good stuff. So there's stuff coming out. They've got us now. What they've got? They've got the calendar filled only until May 9th. So that's interesting. This new swath of games didn't take us very very far into the calendar season, or into the calendar, not season. So that's interesting. But I am excited for a Little Kitty Big City. That's all I got. Anything else from you?
Yep, same. No, let's go into the X feed and look at what top stories are there for this week.
To the XV. The XV is where we talk about top stories in the Xbox world. Starting out, we have three of them this week. Three top stories and a feature story, as always. Xbox Games Showcase 2024 confirmed for June. The first details are revealed, followed by a redacted direct, which is so fun. I love that they did this. So we know there's going to be a direct,
yep,
but
too.
They won't tell us anything about it.
Nope. Other than we have like a logo. So the image that is the thumbnail for this show, if you want to watch the video or you are watching live. but if it's out there in the worldwide open world, it's like an orange dog face in front of what looks like the White House, or could be on a dollar bill, with just basically black lines. It says direct immediately following Xbox Game Showcase. And the more I look at this image, I'm like, yeah, that looks like the Activision logo in the bottom corner that's like just covered in black. Yeah. And that could be quite close to saying Call of Duty. But then when I first looked at this, I was like, I can remember that Tom Clancy's The Division had really cool like orange artwork and stuff like that originally. So could it be Tom Clancy's The Division? So I don't know. I'm now suddenly more excited for this redacted direct than I am the actual showcase.
Yeah, so it's the Capitol building, no doubt about it. That is kind of in the background of these three dogs, wolves, whatever they are. I feel like I've seen this logo somewhere. Like, that's the thing that's kind of like, but it can't be that obvious because the internet would be all over it. So I don't know.
I'm looking at this now. You can probably hear it.
It's very interesting though. I absolutely love the intrigue. I love how they did it. There's going to be somebody, some super smart person who, you know, searches the meta of all these sites, and they're going to crack this code. That's my thought. But I think it's
really cool. I mean, it won't take long.
So you're thinking Call of Duty, or you said Tom Clancy's The Division. The Division makes some sense to me, because of the Capitol building. Like, I feel like it. Call of Duty seems like it wouldn't be, unless it's going to be like Call of Duty DC, or I don't know, Call of Duty Civil War. I don't know. Like, that was the only ways I can see that working for them. The Division makes sense of like protecting the Capitol or whatever, you know, from.
But if I remember rightly, Tom Clancy's The Division is developed by Ubisoft. So unless during the showcase we're getting some allusion that we're going to be linked more with Ubisoft as a Game Pass subscription than we already are, and that tying off the back of it, day one release, we're going to get Tom Clancy's The Division 3, which I am super excited for, because the rumors behind it are that they're straying away from the PvP style stuff and going a bit more into the co-op story, which was always a good thing in the first The Division game. Could be interesting. We could see all sorts in this direct, in the showcase as well, because obviously we're still yet to get a raft of Activision Blizzard games after the ABK. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We're trying to pull the second half of this image apart, and we're neglecting the fact that we're finally getting what is the mecca of gaming Christmas, basically, on June 9th.
That is true. Yeah. No, you're 100% right. There is an awesome showcase coming. These, like, literally in the world of gaming, this is my favorite showcase. I absolutely love what Xbox puts on here. I love these hours. I haven't asked my wife if I can be away for 4 hours this Sunday, but I'm going to certainly try hard. And Sean and I, we will have some fun, I think, in a stream of some sort for this showcase for sure. It should be a good time. You're right. I am intrigued so much by the redacted that I really can't get my mind off of it. Like, it's continually rolling of like what it could be.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, I think, Tyler Kopp on Twitter, when we dropped the image with GPT at GPT Gaming News, I think he said something like, it's going to be Banjo and Kazooie. And then straight after the showcase, it's going to be like, boom, Shadow Dropped available now.
So, Banjo and Kazooie saves the Capitol. I love it.
Yeah.
So there you go. We will be there. I'm excited for it. There's going to be a ton of stuff. You're going to get, you're going to see more of Avowed, Hellblade, all the things, and probably some stuff you don't know. Will we see Fable? Sean, will we?
We could. We haven't seen anything of Fable for like 18 months.
I know, it's been so long. Well, not eight. Yeah, it'll be a year. Wasn't it in the last showcase when they did the trailer with the glasses? And they were... I thought that was the last showcase.
It might have been the last showcase. So yeah, it'll have been a year. It was... Yeah, maybe.
I could be wrong.
I guess because we have like random directs, developer directs, and stuff like that. So sometimes it gets a bit like...
Mm-hmm. I don't disagree. So yeah, I love to see something, even if it's a bit out, I'd love to see something about something that's a bit out. Something crazy like that, right? Something like okay, we pretty much know, you know, we in the last direct we had, what, they locked down Avowed and Hellblade and a couple other games that they kind of locked in. So now tell me a story of what I'm going to be excited for next year. Like, don't be, yeah. Show me that. So we'll see what that is, but I'm excited. I hope they unveil some of that for us. Anything else there, sir, before we move on?
No, sorry. I keep having to mute myself. I have a terrible cough. So I'm trying to spare people that are listening to it the sound of me hacking my lungs up.
I appreciate that. And so do our listeners. Story number two. Here's what the first PS5 reviews are saying about Sea of Thieves. 8 out of 10. Is that what Xbox was? I don't know. What was Xbox's when it dropped on Xbox? Was it an 8 out of 10?
I can't remember what it was, but like I don't know the name. I don't know who these are. I'm assuming they are like Sony related. Reviewers, so Push Square, Hobby Console, Why Though, and Vandal have all given it above 8 and above, and Push Square was giving it 9 out of 10, which like last week we talked about how great Sea of Thieves did on the Xbox and how anticipated it was when it moves across to the Sony port, but you know, Rare have cracked it. They have like their first ever PlayStation game and it's getting absolutely stellar reviews. So
it sounds like it's doing better, which would make sense, right? They've refined the game since it came out. So like 6.5 out of 10 Polygon, 8 out of 10. Oh, that was 2020. So they redid their review. IGN did in 2020, gave it an 8 out of 10. 6 out of 10 for GameSpot when it came out. 2.5 stars for whatever. I don't even know who that person is. 7 out of 10 for Game Informer. So it sounds like it has done better than it, which you would think, right? I mean, they've refined the game, put out new content, blah, 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 blah.
Yep. Yeah, it's great. I mean, the Metacritic is like at 85 as well. Now it's hit the multi-platform realm, so... You know, it's getting more positive reviews across a wider spectrum, so it's up to the score on Metacritic. I'm happy. I'm happy for Rare. I'm happy for the fact that this is an Xbox service game that is over on PlayStation and it's doing really well. It's what I hoped it would do, and I hope that it continues to do well. And I hope that anything else that comes out across platform like that from Xbox that's under the umbrella of Microsoft Gaming that goes across to Sony is well received as it. And I hope one day we get the reverse. It's like, yeah, I'd be so happy if Sony was to turn around and be like, hey, look, you've done us a really big one here. You've brought some games across to our service, which our fans and stuff like that have played and thoroughly enjoyed. So here, have some Spider-Man. Why not have something that is ours? I know it's never going to happen. I can only dream. But
yeah, I was shaking my head for our audio listeners. It is never happened. Well, it is highly unlikely to happen. Just like Nintendo is never going to be like, here, have some Mario for all of your generosity, Xbox. Nah, ain't ever happening.
Metroid Prime remastered on the Xbox would just be nom 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 nom.
Yeah, that'd be pretty fantastic. I don't disagree. And I do on the other side of that, I do believe that PS5 and PlayStation, the majority of PlayStation owners will be happy to play a solid Xbox entry. And they're happy to do so. I think, like I said, I believe in the last podcast, the bubble of people who are like, bah, to Xbox, that is a very small majority of PlayStation owners. Most are happy to get their hands on these titles.
I think that hatred between the two consoles has died. I know it's died with me. I was like, oh no, Xbox because blah, 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 blah. But as I've gotten A, older, and B, the service on PlayStation has got a hell of a lot better than it used to and stuff like that. And they are equal, if not some parts of the Xbox is better than some parts of the PlayStation and vice versa. I mean, that controller that the PS5 has is just absolutely gorgeous to use and play. Mm-hmm. That haptic feedback and the fact that it's like the built speaker and bits and pieces like that is like, I wish sometimes they would have that kind of technology within the Elite, especially the Elite series too. So there are swings and roundabouts to the two different consoles, but you know, that it's died away from me a little bit from being like, PlayStation. Yeah,
sure.
So,
yeah. Yeah, 100%. So happy for, like you said, happy for all the parties. Story number 3, Fallout TV show hits 65 million viewers. Bethesda reveals desire to increase the gaming output. Shocker. They see cash on the table and they want to grab it.
Just to add as well, that 65 million viewers was in 16 days. The first 16 days of the release, it hit 65 million.
That's just nuts. So let's see. What do we got here? In here, they desire to increase the company's gaming output, but not at the expense of high quality. This is, I believe, Todd talking. They do take a long time. And so I think one of the things that we're focused on here is obviously making sure they're of the highest quality, but also finding ways to increase our output because we don't want to wait that long either, right? It's never our plan, but we want to make sure that we get it right.
That's for me, that's a very key piece of information to come from Tom Howard. And that was in the Kind of Funny Games podcast that came out yesterday. I worry if they turn around and go, oh, look, we've done this is freaking awesome. We launched the next gen update with Fallout 4 and saw an even bigger spike in people downloading it. As much as that next gen update did kind of shit on the Fallout London update coming out, or mod coming out, which was like boasting to be a whole new game to play altogether. I don't want them to then rush a game for it to only come out and be like unplayable, right, basically. Or
yeah, for sure.
Be very rough and unfinished.
Yeah, I don't disagree. I don't disagree with anything you're saying. I do think that AAA games, as they're called now, are in a spot where they are. It's tough. I mean, it's like a life event almost, right? Like you get a Fallout or another Skyrim, and you're like, I mean, Sean, you can measure my life by the Fallouts that are left to come out. Like, I mean, if every like 10 years, I'm like, man, I hope I can live to see 3 more Fallouts, you know? That would be really good. Like, Skyrims, if I get 2 more, I'm pretty golden. I mean, by the time I get that second one, I don't know. I might be sipping supper through a straw. I'm not really sure. But it's like, we need to get to a point to where, like, these are not lifetime events anymore, like where you can have a quality game that comes out at a decent time. And that's not on the developers. That's more on just like the tech surrounding that they can use so that these games can start coming out quicker and their jobs can become easier, in quotation. More efficient is a better word, not easier. More efficient.
Yeah.
And the productivity can be cranked up. But yeah, it's an interesting time of gaming where you have these amazing games, but they can take decades.
Yeah. See, the thing is that, and this sits with Rockstar and Grand Theft Auto. I don't mind waiting a long time. The time between Grand Theft Auto 4 and Grand Theft Auto 5 was quite a lengthy, decent, a lengthy time. Similar time to what we're seeing now between 5 and 6. I don't mind waiting that amount of time because the amount of content that was in Grand Theft Auto 5 was huge. And then the whole online saga was huge. So you could play that game and play it. There was a lot of replayability in terms of by the time you finish the story and then you'd gone off and done your bits online and stuff like that, not all the story was stuck in your mind, so you could go back and do it. It's the same with Fallout 4. I've started Fallout 4 again after 150 odd hours save, just went bye-bye. You know, they got the Vault Tech surprise. Man. And I can't remember like how the start of the game was. As I scroll through TikTok and stuff, I'm getting more and more Fallout themed videos on TikTok, and one of them in particular, and I can't remember the creator's name. He's doing like, this is how, you know, these are the best spots to go to for these weapons. This is the location of all the magazines, and then he's going through and showing you like what all the magazines are, like a really in-depth 90-second video on one of these things. So I'm now reliving Fallout 4 all over again and absolutely loving it. So it's one of those where I don't mind waiting that bit longer for a decent game to come out with a lot of depth and a lot of story and lots of things to do, because I can still go and play the one that's currently there, and it's exciting. So, I mean, and the other thing you got to remember is between Fallout 4 and what could be next is they've released Fallout 76, mm-hmm. which isn't as good as Fallout 4 in my opinion, but
yeah, I think
at least there's something to play.
Yeah, I think I've listened to enough podcasts. You are not alone. You are pretty much the consensus opinion. I'm not saying 76 is bad, but every podcast I've listened to have said 4 is the better entry if you're looking for something. And that, you know, and that's the thing. Rockstar did something where they created Grand Theft Auto 5, and then they created these continual seasons of content that the community loved and just like couldn't get enough of. And that is part of, I think, the thing that these other developers, Bethesda including, have to figure out. Fallout 76, I think, has gained a following. It started out pretty rough, as I remember. Yeah. But these other developers do have to find that sweet spot where they can bring out the content and it doesn't feel like you're nickel and diming the community. They feel like they're getting what they want, which is continued support, continued content, which keeps them in that game. But it doesn't zap your productivity and efficiency for research and development for the next game, right? So like, it's really hard. You got to have that team that can work on content for the game that's out, and that team that now moves to the next game. And I'm sure that to project manage that is not easy while, you know, paying all the bills and making sure everybody can eat.
Yeah, I mean, the other option they look at is they look at the free-to-play style games and be like, hey, look, so, you know, things like Epic Games do absolutely killer with things like Fortnite. People are playing Fortnite. That game has been around for, 12 years now? Something like that. I can't remember when Fortnite originally started, but it's still getting huge amounts of gameplay, huge amounts of airtime from streamers as well. Streamers are still making fantastic content based on Fortnite. And that's, like you say, it's because of the constant refresh of seasons. There's content coming out all the time. They weren't afraid to destroy the map and rebuild it and things like that. So do they make another story with the Fallout 4 like kind of vastness, and then have the ability to strap on something like another option of Fallout 76 with seasons where, you know, certain amount of time passes between each season and different events happen. So, because we know that between between the bombs dropping and Fallout 4, we've had like Fallout 76, Fallout 2, Fallout 3, New Vegas, Fallout 4, and stuff like that. So you like, and you're back and forth from between the timelines. Do they go and do something that kind of introduces an extra bit of timeline, and they have like seasons relating to that? So like, you know, 10 years later, like this season brings you 10 years forward and you're now playing in a different landscape, or there's different areas, or the buildings are more decayed and stuff like that. So you've got a team that's kind of working on the decaying landscape of the Fallout atmosphere, while the rest of the team are out there like working on what could the next game be, and kind of hopefully have one lead into the other. So.
Yeah, for sure. It'll be interesting to see how it all plays out and what they do. But I appreciate Todd Howard's, you know, comment of like not sacrificing quality. Those are,
because God forbid Bethesda release a game that's not finished and polished properly.
It better not be buggy. Definitely not. Those are our three top stories. One fast news bulletin: Starfield's Shattered Space expansion DLC launches on Xbox this fall. So, is there anything of note that's going to be in that? I know this is supposed to be a news bulletin, but does it say anything?
Oh. All they say is that before this, players can look forward to some big updates coming soon.
All right.
The updates include new displays, modes on console, new shipbuilding features, city maps, new gameplay, difficulty options, and some additional surprises.
That's right.
Todd Howard also spoke about the new Starfield creation kit during the same interview, mentioning how it's already in the hands of some of the creators and information about it soon to be shared. So no release date, but apparently it's really important to the team. So
there you go.
It's out there with some people that like the game testers that they're out there. So we could start seeing, as obviously with embargoes and stuff like that, we might start seeing some content kind of rise and fizzle through a little bit. But we'll definitely get an update from Xbox at some point.
I like it. All right, those are our top stories and our news bulletin. On to our feature story, ID Xbox released 12 Game Pass titles that either get new reveals or are new to us all together. So, I don't know, you want to just kind of start at the top of this list, or what are you thinking here?
Start at the top of the list and just we'll highlight things off and...
So, okay, so 33 Immortals gets a trailer ahead of its closed beta this May.
Ugh, 33 Immortals. There's going to be an element of me having to do some Googling here.
Googling? Don't.
Yes. Mainly because I, as a really bad content creator, have completely neglected the fact that this happened. I was working nights over the weekend when it happened, and I haven't been able to catch up with it since because I haven't been feeling very well, and I've had a poly boy and been trying to get a couple of things done around the house. So
I gotcha. I'm not in much of a different scenario. let's just list these off. I think that's going to be the easiest thing to do here. And then while you're doing Googling, if you want to go back, we can go back. Pal World has a teaser trailer, hints at big plans for this summer on, these are all going to be on Xbox Game Pass, so I won't say that every time. Commandos Origins makes its Game Pass arrival on Xbox this summer. All You Need Is Help is bringing its cute gameplay to Xbox in 2024. Noticing a thing here, there are no dates on any of these. Gamera Games reveals 5 indies coming to Xbox and Game Pass soon, including one today. Dungeons of Hinterberg brings its colorful adventure to Game Pass in July. Vampire Survivors unveils a couple of new trailers. That game just... You want to talk about a game with legs. That game just keeps going. And Humanity is a highly rated puzzle game from 2023 joins Game Pass this May as well. So
I think that Humanity, I have seen that on the coming, either on the coming soon or is it out now? I know that was Rewinder, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That was the other game from earlier that we forgot to mention.
Oh man, we just really can't remember that game, Cam. That's the second week in a row we forgot that game.
Yep. Oops.
Yeah, humanity looks a little. It looks strange. You're like lemmings. It's like lemmings with people. It's not often, here, I'll read this. It's not often a puzzle game quite like humanity comes along with its minimal but expressive art direction, adorably ghostly Shiba Inu main character, and an endless library of user-generated content. Oh, okay, so some of these are user-generated. It's no surprise why Humanity was one of IGN's highest-reviewed games of 2023. Now that it's headed to Xbox and Game Pass, we break down everything you need to know, blah, blah, blah.
Wow. Let's see. So 33 Immortals is an ambitious 33 player action roguelike that invites players to face the wrath of God in a lean, mean distillation of MMO raid experience. So that sounds intense. 33 players in a roguelike.
That sounds awful.
And I mean, if that's all at the same time, Yeah.
No, I'm sure it's great for somebody, but not for me. And I appreciate that person. Those people. Yeah, there you go.
So the Pal World update that they dropped in there is that there's new pals coming to Pal in 2024. Colorful future friends in this latest trailer for Pal World was revealed at the showcase. Pal is an open world. Yeah. So we're just getting some new pals to capture, which obviously means
Sean's got to go back in and play some more.
No. I enjoyed that game, but it soon became apparent that my ability to manage pals and their crafting and resourcing was not very good at all. I think I hit a wall with them and couldn't get any further.
I get you. So. This might be a short feature story, my man. I don't know.
Yeah, I failed massively to look into these and look them up. But I ran out of time. It was one of them where I was like, I need to get this done. And then like, by the time I sat down and thought, okay, well, I'll start looking at it and writing the document up, we got chatting and yeah.
That happens a lot.
I was going to do between putting children to bed and tucking Lindsay into bed to read her book, was to watch this. So, cause I'm usually excited for the idea Xbox or the indie showcase because, through playing lots of Game Pass games, I've come to love indies more than I used to. So I used to not enjoy the indies and just be all about the AAA main headers. But there's like been indie games that I've let slip through the net that I've then enjoyed later on, and there's ones that have come out and I've absolutely adored. So
yeah, I mean, I view Game Pass as like my indie machine, basically my indie platform, to be honest. There's so many good games, many of which would pass me right by if they weren't on Game Pass and I didn't have a chance to just download them and give them a go. Sometimes they're for me, sometimes they're not. I'm going to talk about one that is up here soon that I probably wouldn't have ever bought because I wouldn't have thought it was for me. So yeah, it's a great place to find those games. These games are so varied though. That's what makes it difficult on this particular medium to like describe these to you guys. It's just, there's a lot of really creative stuff here. So to kind of go through it and be able to describe them is not easy.
And we've only picked the 8 games that were coming to Game Pass from this as well.
Good point.
As part of the indie showcase, there is, I think there was 20 games or something like that. And we've only picked the 8 to list the 8 that are coming to Xbox Game Pass, because obviously we are the Game Pass Tracker show. So
that is who we are.
Yeah.
All right. Anything else before we move on to the dashboard?
No. I'd say we're just going to talk about how little we've been playing as well, because we've been so busy.
on to the dashboard. The dashboard's where we talk about games we have been playing and games on the docket that we wish to play soon or hope we can play, maybe, if life allows. Sean, what game have you been playing? What game?
What game have I been playing? I've been playing Fallout 4. I've talked about it in stages throughout the podcast, but yeah, I have gone back to Fallout 4. Like I said, I give my previous save the Vault Tech Surprise, wiped it out completely and started fresh.
Crazy man.
I've started Sanctuary. I've started rebuilding Sanctuary and my Red Rocket hideout. I've collected two lots of power armor so far. One's missing a helmet and the complete left side for some strange reason.
It's just one arm. But you have one arm that's just out here, like completely naked. Is that what it is?
Yeah, pretty much. So I've got missing a left arm, a left leg, and a helmet. So. And they are. Some of the suits are incomplete, and then what you'll find is that you'll like pick up parts of armor later on. So
gotcha.
Yeah. So I've been playing that. I've been playing quite a bit of that. I've played maybe since we last chatted, I've maybe played another 4 hours. And kind of just got into the crafting side of Sanctuary in terms of building generators and linking stuff across and wires and things like that. So I've forgotten how much fun crafting is in that game. It's dead simple where you can just walk around and everything around you, you kind of just chunk into junk. But you soon start running out of glue. So while I'm out and about in the Commonwealth, wandering around, nailing ghouls and raiding places, I'm looking for duct tape, wonder glue, anything that's sticky. Because that is one of the biggest things in Fallout to make sure you've always got plenty of is some kind of adhesive.
I shall keep that in mind. That's cool. But then, really would love to get to this game. I really would, but I just don't ever see the time to get to it.
And then the other game I've been playing on my phone. I've been playing Pokemon Fire Red, the Game Boy Advance version, because I downloaded that most downloaded app in the world called Delta and have started emulating ROMs on my phone because it's something I used to do when it was available via an APK for iOS devices, but they've now made it readily available to download and use. It's great. So because it requires zero signal to run and you can play absolutely stellar games that have no adverts and stuff like that, so you can just pull your phone out of your pocket and it's like playing a Game Boy all over again. I absolutely love it. I'm currently reliving my childhood.
That's awesome. Do they have like little like controls on the screen? Is that how they do that?
Yeah. Yeah, they do with haptic feedback, which is nice. Cool. Obviously, you miss that feel of being able to roll your thumb over the D-pad.
Right,
which,
yeah.
You know, like when you're playing like Pokemon and stuff, you roll your thumb over the D-pad to quickly change direction. But it's just fun. Enjoying it. It's pass some time, kind of like when I eat my lunch at work and stuff, I can whip that out and play rather than staring into my food and waiting and praying for the end of my shift.
Sure. No, that's awesome. Always good to have a mobile game. I don't have one currently. My Retro Bowl fixation has finished and I got rid of it. So, that's awesome. Anything else?
No, that's it. Like what I'm hoping to play is Little Kitty Big City. I have another Crab's Treasure and have a nice death downloaded. sorry, to try and play in between my Fallout plays. So
nice. Speaking of another Crab's Treasure, that's what I have been playing. A Dark Souls like really fun art style, great dialogue. Good by voiceover is what I mean by dialogue. Good writing. It's hard. There's no doubt it's hard. It is not the hardest game I've ever played. I can beat it. It's been fun to. I wouldn't say it's like a Dark Souls for beginners. Maybe I've heard it described as like a Dark Souls for babies. It ain't a Dark Souls for babies. Okay, ain't no baby beating this. Okay, so but it is like a Dark Souls for beginners, I would say. It's also interesting. I don't know. I might get some pushback that it's a Dark Souls game because there is a, you can change the difficulty in this game. In fact, you can not only change the difficulty, you can give Krill, who is your crab, you can give Krill a gun. It's a one-shot gun, and he can kill everything in one shot. So I don't know. It may not qualify as a Dark Souls game because there's a difficulty meter. I'm not sure. I don't know. I don't know how that works. But anyway, so if you're interested in the game and you're like, I don't want to go through the Dark Souls, hey, drop it down. Give Krill a gun. Get the story. Have fun. Learn about shells. It's great. The story is good in and of itself. The combat mechanics I have really been enjoying. It's got it has a good bit of systems, but not so many that it's overwhelming and you're like, I don't even know what's going on here. And they do a good job of bringing them in one at a time. And it's been fun to play having my son watch me because he's like, so often he'll be like, Dad, I don't think you're supposed to fight that guy. And I'm like, oh no. We have to fight this guy. It's the only way we're moving forward. I know I've died many times, but we're going to keep doing it. And but it's hard enough that if you're playing, I'm playing on regular, like I haven't made it more difficult. I haven't made it easier. Whatever was the standard is what I'm on. It's hard enough that when you finally beat that guy, it's a victory. Like you feel like you've done something. So I've been enjoying that. I will keep playing. I will keep moving forward. It's about a 10-hour game, I hear. I'm sure that's for somebody who is decent at Dark Souls. So for me, it's probably about a 25-hour game. So, you know, I'll plan to get through that sometime. But yeah, that's
I like how you've introduced Noah to a Souls-like, or Dark Souls-like game with another Krebs treasure. And he's watching you and he's like, yeah, I don't think you're ready for this.
Yeah.
And you're like, no, this is how you play the game, son. This is it. Like, imagine when he gets older and he can go back and like he's playing Elden Ring because by the time he's old enough and prepared in life to play Elden Ring, it'll be a relic. And he's like, holy crap!
Yeah.
All those years of playing another Krebs treasure with my dad, this has prepared me for this moment.
Yeah, no, it's true. You know, there's a lot of those Souls-like games are not games that you would like let a kid play, you know, a younger kid. And so, because they're just a little bit more violent or whatever. You know, I mean, you are like stabbing stuff, but you're a crab with a fork. Okay, there's no blood, there's no nothing. So it is fun as like an entry level for a kiddo that likes the challenge. To be able to try out a harder game. I don't know if Souls-like is the right name or not, but a harder game. And so, yeah, I'm having a great time with it. And I plan to... I'm going to see this one through, Sean, even though right now I'm at a baddie that is surely kicking my butt. So I've died a handful of times. And here's the thing. I need to see... I'm sure I can do this. I haven't tried it yet. I need to see if I can lower the volume because this one talks too. I've beat three baddies... One out of the three, now this is the second out of the four that I'm fighting, talked. And the talking ones drive me insane because they always have like a thing they say when you die, and it makes me... The first... Was it the first one I fought? I think it was the first one I fought. He was like, when you died, which I did often with him, he's like, now your body is in the watery grave. And I'm like, and Noah was like, why does he have to say that every time? And I'm like, I don't know, man. It's very annoying. So, anyways, but
so the only question I have with this is, and you were worried about it when you were thinking about it, is there like a weird system for like upgrading aspects of yourself and bits like that? Is there a system? Because like in Elden Ring, it was just like next level where you were having to equip this and equip that and not equip this and.
Yeah, so there are multiple systems, but none of them seem overly cumbersome. So you have like your main system of, by the way, this game really focuses on cleaning up the trash in the ocean. Like it's all about finding bits of microplastics. Literally, that's how you upgrade. That's the main upgrade system to level up your character is by finding microplastic bread claws, which are like the bread ties, all these different like junk that shouldn't be in the ocean. So it kind of spotlights that issue that we're currently having in our world of all this trash in our ocean, which is cool. I appreciate that. So there's that main system. Then there's another one with crystals where it's like a skill tree. Not overly cumbersome. It makes a lot of sense. It's not crazy. And then the third one is, I can't remember what it's called anymore, but basically you have these different things you pick up and they attach to your shell and you can carry up to three of them. And so as you get them, you can attach them to your shell. But if you lose your shell completely, it's not your shell, remember. It's like a piece of junk, like either a can or a bottle cap or a banana or a coconut shell. Like I've seen all these things. So you can attach them to your shell. If you lose your shell, you lose those attachments. And so far, those are the only mechanics, the systems I've come across. It's not overly cumbersome or too hard to understand to where it like makes it no fun or too difficult. You can get deeper into it. Like they've tried to explain to me, if you know the baddie has a blue attack, then it's a smash attack or a red attack. Man, I can't keep track of that. I'm just trying to dodge, okay? Like I'm sure maybe at some point I may have to like learn that, but at the moment that's a little too far out of like my ability to like, right now I'm just trying to roll and dodge and be in a shell when I need to be in a shell and blah blah blah. So it's been fun. And I'm with Sean. Hello Kitty Little Kitty Big City.
Big City.
Hello Kitty's a different game. My bad. Little Kitty Big City. That's on my list.
Yeah. I want to play that. I don't want to play it with Logan. It's more aimed at wanting to play it with Emily. I think Emily's probably going to like get most out of it. So
So that is our dashboard. Not much of a party chat, and poor Sean's about as clogged up as, you know, a toilet after I eat Chinese. So there you go.
It's nice analogy there. Yeah, the talking, I have run out of water, and the talking is making my throat feel like I'm swallowing cotton wool. So I'm about ready to call this a show and wrap it up. And
take
hopefully
us out,
next
sure.
week I'll be sniffling and coughing and scratchy throat and everything. So, yep. So yeah, thank you everybody for listening. We apologize that the feature story wasn't as in depth as it could be with those things. But the video's out there to go and watch, go and skip through. If you're interested in just the Game Pass stuff, or sit there for the full 40. I can't remember how long that was now, but sit there for the full length of the showcase to get your indie fix. It's definitely something I'm going to go and try and watch over the next couple of days. Maybe while I'm on my lunch at work and catch up with it. And if there is anything I do need to say, I will mention it in next week's show really quickly. But yeah, thanks very much for listening. And until next time, see you later.
See you later, guys.